What's going on, people, and welcome to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. The aim of our podcast is to show you how anyone can start a business, find their dream job, or develop a revenue stream in the emerging blockchain industry. Most, if not all of our guests, started with just an idea, a few hundred dollars, and a Twitter account. Before we meet today's guest, here's a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you in assistance with our sponsors, Crypto.com and Crypto Jobs Daily. Crypto.com is a well-established platform and their mobile app offers the following features. A built-in exchange that lets you buy and sell 7 fiat and over 50 cryptocurrencies. A tiered debit card that allows users to earn crypto cash back. And so much more, including their free-for-free promotion. Our second sponsor is Crypto Jobs Daily, the number one place to find work in the blockchain industry. Users can connect with companies hiring in a few clicks and find their dream job today. For more information about both projects, you can click on the link in the description below. Today we're joined by James, the co-founder of MStable. Released in early 2019, MStable is a DeFi protocol that unites stablecoins, lending and swapping into one robust and easy to use standard. So let's go ahead and speak with James. Yo, what's going on, people, and welcome back to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. Today we're joined by James from MStable. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you, James?
Doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. I'm really excited for today's podcast and to hear more about your project. But before we jump straight into MStable, we mentioned you're from the team. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your role and how this came about?
Sure. So I'm co-founder and lead at MStable. MStable is a stablecoin infrastructure protocol. So we create a stablecoin, and we also create a bunch of services for that stablecoin, including an exchange and a savings account. And MStable kind of came about after I worked, originally in kind of traditional finance and consulting, and then moved into working for a crypto hedge fund. And it was there where we used to use stablecoins all the time. And I think if anyone listening has used stablecoins, you can realize pretty quickly that there are some problems with them. There's a lot of fragmentation in same peg assets. So there's about 5 different USDs, a lot of concentration of risk. And generally, just like US dollars in the real world, they're relatively low yielding. So we try to fix all of those problems with MStable. I'm looking forward to kind of going through the product with you on the podcast today.
Fantastic. I mean, it sounds like a very interesting journey. And in terms of your particular journey, your individual journey, you mentioned you came from traditional finance and then moved into a crypto hedge fund. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and how you found a job in a crypto hedge fund?
Yeah, for sure. So I was originally, I worked in Shanghai for KPMG, which was a kind of global accounting firm, accounting and consulting firm. So I was just doing consulting work in a thing called business performance services. And then I moved into a data analyst role in Melbourne at KPMG as well. Unsurprisingly, I found that quite boring. After a while, and happily in 2017, I kind of dipped my toes into crypto just on a personal level at university. But then 2017, with the bull market that we all know of that happened at the end of 2017, but there was obviously a lot more capital in the industry. And I was lucky enough to be put in touch with a team in Melbourne, Australia, who were setting up a fund. And it kind of just happened very naturally through meeting someone and then kind of me emailing them to see how they're going. And we met up for coffee, and subsequently it ended up that I worked as an investment analyst at this firm called Apollo Capital, which still exists to this day. And I would definitely recommend to anyone to spend some time, if they can, and they're interested in finance, and they're kind of they're a non-developer, to spend some time working at a fund, because you get to see incredible amount of inbound in terms of projects, early stage projects that you can invest in, most of which are really not that, particularly back then, were not good quality. But then you kind of can build up a thesis on what you think this technology means, and then often these funds are also multi-strategy, so you're part derivatives trader, part forex trader, part yield hunter, part VC. So it gives you kind of a broad overview of a lot of different types of investing. So that's kind of how it happened. And then me and my former boss there came up with the idea of MStable last year, and then it led to me kind of quitting and starting it.
Fantastic. I mean, I think that's great advice for any of our listeners out there wanting to find work in the crypto space. And I think it's also very inspiring for any entrepreneurs listening out there. As you know, you can come from a traditional finance background, you can work in this space for a leading investment firm, and like you mentioned, you know, learn the foundations of how to analyze projects, and then take the ultimate step and launch your actual own blockchain startup. I think that's very inspiring, which kind of leads us nicely onto MStable. We talked briefly in the earlier on about some of the features available. Do you want to tell us a bit more in detail about anyone who's interested in trying out the platform, what they can expect to find?
Yeah, sure. So what MStable is built on is what's called a liquidity pool of USD stablecoins. So essentially, it's a smart contract. People could deposit their US dollars, US dollar stablecoins within that smart contract. And in return, you get the same amount of MUSD as the amount of stablecoins that you deposited. So, and you always have the right to redeem that same amount of what's called MUSD, which is this meta stablecoin that we give out for any of the underlying. So if you have 100 USDC, you come to MStable, you put it into MStable smart contract, and then you get 100 MUSD back. So on the surface, you might say, well, why would I do that? You just put $100 in and then you get $100 out. There's not much reason for that. So immediately we think that there's value in holding MUSD because you actually have a diversified exposure to multiple different stablecoins. So if one of those stablecoins fail for whatever reason, you won't be fully exposed to that stablecoin. So you have a diversified exposure from a risk perspective. And we have quite a few proposals in the pipeline to make that even more secure, to kind of even ensure that as well as diversify the risk. So that's one thing you get immediately. But then as a user, you also have an option to put that meta stablecoin, MUSD, into a savings account called Save. And when you deposit the capital into the MStable smart contracts, you actually, all that capital is programmatically and automatically working for you in the background. So it automatically, the smart contracts put all of those stablecoins onto Compound and Aave, which are lending markets. Mm-hmm. And then the amazing thing about smart contracts is that we're actually able to enable users to swap between those stablecoins even when they're lent out.
Okay.
So what we are able to do is have a stablecoin exchange built on top of this, built on top of the deposits. So we actually earn interest income and swap fees. And all of that income is sent to savers. So they earn 100% of that. And this week, our average interest rate has been about 20%. So we've had a lot of swap volume. Wow. It's a floating rate, so it can go below that and has gone below that. But averaging, pretty close to 10% since launch, which is obviously a lot higher than what you can find in a traditional bank. And yeah, a lot of our users opt to put their MUSD into that savings account to capture that yield, which is pure US dollar.
Fantastic. No, and I mean, I think it's very appealing for the user. You know, we touched on the traditional finance yield that's available. It's a lot more appealing. And, you know, it's interesting to see how protocols like MStable are leading the new wave of decentralized finance services available to users, and also opening that up on a global scale, you know, as never seen before. So I would definitely recommend to our listeners, if they are interested in, you know, diversifying their basket of stable coins, if they're interested in getting access to savings accounts via their stable coins, definitely check out the website. We'll leave the links in the description below, but you can visit at mstable.org. So yeah, I mean, just building on what James was saying there, I think there's quite a few features available for users, and it's very exciting to see how DeFi protocols advance, more services become available. Which leads us nicely onto, like, what kind of new features have you guys got planned for the future?
Yeah, so we have a lot coming up. The first thing, which is kind of technical and might be not that interesting to non-technical listeners, but we are upgrading the algorithm that that formulates the price of assets in our swap product. The bottom line is that it'll make it a lot more efficient. It'll mean that users who have MUSD will be able to have guaranteed liquidity in every major stablecoin. So they'll be able to, if they want DAI, they can get DAI to redeem. If they want USDT, they can get USDT, and it's absolutely going to be in there. So it'll mean that it's more diversified, the basket of stablecoins. We think it'll also, and from our modeling, we think it'll produce much higher volumes. So that will just produce a higher APY for MUSD. So that's really an important upgrade that we're making. We're also making it a lot cheaper in terms of gas. So people sending transactions on Ethereum, it'll be about 50 to 70% cheaper now on MStable after this upcoming upgrade. But on a bigger level, we have MBTC coming out. So we currently have MUSD, but now we'll have MBTC in the coming months. So that means you'll be able to get there'll be a savings account for BTC, and you'll be able to kind of hold a diversified exposure to Bitcoin on Ethereum, because there are quite a few now, RenBTC and WBTC. So we're really excited about that. And then aside from that, we also have an upgrade coming for our savings account. So very soon, you'll be able to actually hold a token that is your yield generating MUSD. And we have a few other upgrades that we haven't announced yet in regards to that savings account to make it even higher yielding. So yeah, we're really excited about that, because that means users will be able to use our savings account, which is not tokenized at the moment, but when it is tokenized, they'll be able to use that as collateral throughout DeFi. So you'll be able to send a yielding version of MUSD.
Fantastic. I mean, I think that's very exciting.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Sorry, no, I was just saying, I think that's a very exciting development. I mean, it takes your project on to a whole nother level.
I think so. We're really excited to be able to, so people can, say, go to a derivatives protocol on Ethereum, or and they need to post margin. Well, they can maybe, while they're trading on the derivatives protocol, they can have as margin an asset that's actually working for them. So if we can keep the same interest rate that we've been having, say it's 10% interest rate on US dollars, and we could even potentially be having a yield farming kind of meta reward associated with that token, users are really earning a great yield while they're sleeping, and they can still use the products that they as they would normally. And then, of course, you can, with that MUSD yielding token, you can redeem into any stablecoin. I think users will think it's a pretty good product. So we're really excited to come out with that. And then another proposal we'll be bringing to the community after that is what we call recollateralization. which uses the Meta token to essentially ensure the MUSD and MBTC baskets. So if a stablecoin fails in one of those baskets, we can use Meta, our token, to buy back MUSD or MBTC, whichever one we need to. And that means that the holders of those stablecoins not only have diversified risk exposure, but also are insured. So we really want to make this token that's has the best risk-adjusted yield. And we think that that'll generally be what people will want to hold and pay with and use as collateral.
It sounds very exciting, and yeah, I'm very keen to see how things progress once that feature's in place. Just going over the protocols and the partnership you guys have built during your journey in building MStable, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about the value of building partnerships and some of the partnerships you currently have?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some of our investors are really, really fantastic. One investor is Three Arrows Capital, and they're quite a prominent crypto investor based in Singapore. And they have incredible markets experience and have been very helpful. We're also invested in by Defiance Capital, which is another crypto fund out of Asia. Alameda Research invested in us, which is the kind of the biggest market maker in crypto as well. We have another exchange invested who are under NDA, unfortunately, so we can't say publicly. Another fund called DACM in Australia, very, very big supporters of ours. All of these investors have helped us massively in getting to where we are today with their advice and their capital. So that certainly those investments are really, really great partnerships for us. We've also been integrated in a bunch of different DeFi protocols. And if you go on our website, you can see a list of protocols that we've integrated ourselves or they have integrated us. So there's a few protocols, 0x is Matcha and 1inch. They're both stablecoin aggregator. They're DEX aggregators, so they use lots of different liquidity sources in order to find the best price, and we're integrated into those. So a lot of our swap volume comes from those protocols. So it's great to be integrated with 0x, Matcha, and 1inch. And then Curve is also integrated MUSD. So there's an MUSD Matcha Curve pool there. We've worked with Sublayer, which is a streaming protocol, and all of investor and team tokens are streaming on a second-by-second basis using Sublayer, so it's amazing to use them. We're integrated into Argent, which is a wallet that a lot of particularly new users to Ethereum like to use because it's very easy. And then, of course, the protocol itself is integrated into Compound and Aave, and our Earn products integrated with Uniswap and Balancer. So there's a whole heap of protocols that we use, I think that's one of the most amazing things about DeFi is that every project kind of leverages them to, each other up by collaborating.
Most definitely. I mean, it's highly impressive just the number of partnerships you've reeled off there, not only from your investors, but also the protocols you guys are working with. Now, as someone who's working in this industry and, you know, got their own business, I know there's a lot of challenges you face along the way to get to that stage. So leads us nicely onto what sort of challenges have you guys faced in the way since you launched MStable?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bunch of challenges when you build a protocol. I think one is making sure that you get product market fit. So any kind of startup knows this challenge. And we're really happy that we're kind of focused on building, first of all, a savings account that has a high interest rate. That's a guaranteed market segment, mm-hmm. particularly in a world of zero to negative interest rates. So we're really happy to kind of have real users in that product. There's no yield farming, so we know for sure that people actually are just there to get the interest rate, and not there kind of for short term yield farming. So I think finding product market fit, we're still kind of working on optimizing that, but that's obviously a very hard thing to find. I think you have to have a lot of grit in any startup, and certainly there's ups and downs in crypto, and the bear markets are sometimes very difficult to kind of raise money and all of those kind of challenges. I think also securing talent. I think for every project out there, and you said a lot of people who are interested in finding a job listen to this podcast. Well, we're actually looking for two positions at the moment. One, a protocol engineer, so anyone with Solidity experience, we would love you to apply. And secondly, we're looking for a business developer. So those two roles are open now. And finding talent in DeFi is actually quite difficult because not many people have really, really good experience in those areas, and there's obviously quite a few projects that are growing at quite a pace. There are a few of the challenges. I would say an overriding one to finish is contract security. So making sure that the funds that people deposit into the protocols into the MSettle protocol are really safe. Certainly we have that as our number one priority, and we are very conservative in launching products and getting them audited to make sure that users' funds are safe. Obviously, protocols are non-custodial and users must use it at their own risk, but we try and do everything we can to make sure it's secure.
I think that's very reassuring for the listeners to know. And also, as you touched on two key things there, is that the security of your contracts is the paramount, and it is always a challenge. You know, as secure as you can be, there's always new vulnerabilities, new exploits, new upgrades always coming out. People are always looking to take advantage. And in terms of the staff, so yeah, I mean, for any listeners out there, just to kind of recap on what James said, team are currently looking for new people to join. They're looking for a protocol engineer and a business developer. We'll leave more information in the links in the description below. But I'd highly recommend, if anyone's interested in joining an established DeFi project that's really on the cusp and on the edge of, you know, setting trends, I think it's a great place to work, and you know, I definitely recommend getting in touch. Now, on a more positive note, we touched on some of the challenges you guys have faced. On a more positive note, what would you say is something that makes you proud when you think of the journey in building MStable?
That's a nice question. I think we actually started the project quite early. So actually, the MStable first idea was January 2019, wow, which maybe, or even maybe a bit earlier in 2018. For me, as a kind of first-time entrepreneur, it took a quite a while to, and it was a bear market, and DeFi wasn't really a thing when we first thought of MStable. So when I was talking about stablecoin liquidity pools and all this stuff, and people didn't really, really get it. I think I'm proud of the team that we've been able to create over the last couple of years. Not quite 2 years, but almost 2 years working on this. I think MStable being early, I'm happy that kind of the very early team members really still got the idea and were able to front foot this whole DeFi trend. So that's been really nice. But then generally, I'm just really proud of the team. We have some fantastic people working at MStable, and everyone's smarter than myself, that's for sure. We kind of are spread all across the world, and there are so many contributors now to the protocol. It's really, really inspiring coming to work and working with such smart people. But that's definitely kind of bringing together all these smart, driven people is pretty cool.
I agree. And it's something definitely to be very proud of. You know, you guys were ahead of the curve compared to a lot of other DeFi protocols. I mean, you know, DeFi wasn't really that well known in this industry until maybe this summer. So like to already be established for a year and a half, I'm sure you guys gained a lot of edge over your competition, and although you maybe made a lot of mistakes along the way, that's usually the best way to learn from any startup business, to have the best opportunity to grow from it. We touched on the team, James. It's really interesting to always hear the story. Like, how was the team grown from when you and your co-founder first launched the project to where you are now? Like, how many people are currently working on the project?
Yeah, I mean, we have about nine people, I think, or 10 maybe, some of which, and if you include in kind of investors and advisors and things like that, it does grow even bigger than that. But the core team, we have about 9 people, very developer heavy. So we have only 3 people on the non-dev side, a community manager, head of operations, and myself. And then on the developer side, we have 3 front-end developers and 1 head of research. He's a kind of protocol researcher, and then a protocol engineer. We're hiring, as I said, another protocol engineer. And on the non-dev side, we're hiring a BD. That's kind of the core team. But there's we're really lucky to have a few advisors as well. So Anthony Sassano, who's a bit of an Ethereum influencer, and he's been he's one of our first checks in the early days, and has been very involved in advising us. So he's been really, really great as well. We have a few other advisors as well. So the team is growing, has grown really, really nicely. And it's kind of obviously, I think, the most important thing in a startup to have the right team.
100%. And it's always very inspiring when the team grows organically as well. I see a lot of companies in this space, especially when they fundraise before developing their actual product, they have huge teams of 50, 100 people. And often find that having too big of a team in the beginning, especially in a blockchain-based startup, can just cause delays. It can cause a product pivoting from its original path. So I think it's really exciting to see you guys grow. You mentioned that there's a couple of current vacancies. We talked about them briefly. In terms of new people joining the team in the 2 current roles you've got available, James, do you want to give us some information on what sort of qualities you look for in new team members, and also specifically in terms of the 2 roles you've got available?
Sure. I think there are a few key things that we're looking for. One is a real passion for decentralized finance. The idea that we can rebuild the financial system from the ground up in a way that's more transparent, more open, and also just more innovative. There are products that we can create with smart contracts and global free markets that wouldn't be possible in the current very fragmented analog system that we know today. So I think having a passion for that is really, really critical, because that gets you through the good and the bad times. Secondly, I think having just general integrity is important. I say that because a lot of crypto people, a lot of crypto projects aren't known for a lot of things, but maybe not layer integrity. And we try and really hold that high as a value at MStable, making sure that we're trying to create positive impact in the world. And then aside from that, I think just obviously being good at your job is helpful, and then just generally just a good team player. That's pretty much it. And we would really love anyone to apply, regardless of where you live. I think, if you feel like you fit the bill, would love to see your applications.
Fantastic. And as I mentioned, we'll leave the links in the description below. So again, if you guys are interested in joining an established DeFi protocol, these guys have been around for a while. I mean, just reeling off the partnerships that James mentioned is highly impressive, not only to mention how much has been traded through their contracts. So it's a great opportunity for anyone out there who wants to take a risk and join the team, and kind of leave maybe their traditional job. I mean, one thing I always say about the benefit of working in crypto is right now there's a whole host of people who have a big passion for blockchain, but they're working a day job right now, and you know, kind of they're looking at crypto more than what they spend in time at work, but they're not really getting rewarded for it. You know, is ever one opportunity you want to take to really kind of, you know, enjoy this next couple of years as things are building and prices growing, you know, is to get a job with a blockchain company like MStable, and the rewards can be huge. So yeah, I definitely recommend for listeners out there who are interested in joining a DeFi protocol to take a look. Just as we wrap up here, James, it's been really interesting to hear your journey in building MStable, how you came up with the idea, how the team has grown, what services and features are available on the platform. Just before we go, do you want to give us an insight into where you see the biggest opportunities for growth over the next couple of years in the blockchain industry?
Sure. I mean, I think the next couple of years is interesting. So let's say that's 2 years. I think we are still going to have trading as the as a really, really large use case generally. I don't think that some of the major problems are going to be fully solved in the next couple of years, being kind of scalability, making, you know, being competing with things like PayPal or Visa in terms of transaction throughput. I don't think that's going to be solved in the next 2 years. I don't think stuff like privacy necessarily will be fully solved, although I do think it will be integral to DeFi going forward, but I don't think that's going to be done in the next 2 years. And I would also say I think the problems, a lot of frictions that, you know, people on the street have, perhaps like private key management, for example, also won't be solved in completely in 2 years. So I don't expect to have kind of a full normie inflow in the next 2 years. What I do expect is that I think a lot of what we're seeing in CeFi will migrate into DeFi. So obviously, one of the bigger, kind of perhaps the biggest killer use case of crypto has been these derivatives exchanges that have done an extraordinary amount of volumes, trillions in volumes, like in Bitcoin, and then obviously the perpetual swap. And people love that, being able to get leverage, being able to bet and gamble on the volatility of these assets. I think we're going to see a lot of that in DeFi. So I expect we're going to see derivatives protocols really migrate, particularly given that BitMEX had a bit of a KYC incident, and they're now making it more compliant. So I think in DeFi we're actually going to see a lot of protocols build these derivatives, perpetual swaps, all that kind of stuff. So I can see that being a huge theme coming up. And then I think generally we're going to see a lot of trading volume move from centralized exchanges to automated market makers like Uniswap or Balancer. So I would say those two things are very significant. And we hope to do our kind of be involved in that, in the sense that we're obviously, we are at AMM and we're upgrading that soon. And then obviously on the derivative side, we hope that our MUSD save when we create a token of it will be used as the collateral of choice. But we'll see if that actually pans out. We'll be working very hard to make it happen. And whoever comes on as the BD will be in charge of making that happen. But yeah, who knows? That's also the fun thing, is that no one actually knows what's going to happen.
No, I mean, I very much echo those thoughts. And, you know, coming from a decentralized finance perspective, I think anything DeFi related over the next couple of years is really going to be pushing the cusp of traditional finance models. As you mentioned, people are going to be looking to get centralized institutions, the similar products into DeFi. And as more and more trust is taken away from a central organization and put into decentralized protocols, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, people actually find this becomes a norm over the next couple of years, aside to, you know, holding your finances in a traditional bank account and going down the road of relying on your bank providing what they say. But anyway, that's for another conversation. James, it's been really interesting to hear your insights. As we wrap up, we want to just thank you for coming on and giving your insights into building MStable. Again, I'm very positive and excited about the future for your company. It's been really interesting to hear that journey along the way. For anyone who's interested in more information about MStable, do you want to just tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go on mstable.org, you can see all the links there. You can go onto our app or you can join our community, which is just at the bottom of that website, mstable.org. And you can join our Discord. That's where most of our community is, or the Telegram group as well. Or you can sign up for our monthly newsletter there.
Fantastic. Well, we'll leave all the links in the description below. And again, anyone who's interested in applying for the two jobs that we talked about on the podcast, you know, I'd highly recommend it. The links will also be in the description. So thank you so much for coming on the show, James. We'd love to have you back on sometime within the next 12 months and see how you guys are progressing.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. It was good fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. We hope you can get inspired from James' story and his advice. If you wish to get more information about MStable, you can check out the links in the description below. Finally, if you're interested in learning more about how to generate revenue streams in the crypto space, find work in blockchain, or if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of our podcast, then you can visit our website at www.blockchainenterprisespodcast.com.